हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, Jiva, the living entity, Prakriti, nature, Kala, eternal time, and Karma, activity, are all explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Out of these five, the Lord, the living entities, material nature, and time are eternal. The manifestations of Prakriti may be temporary, but it is not false. Some philosophers say that the manifestation of the material nature is false, but according to the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, or according to the philosophy of the Vaishnavas, this is not so. The manifestation of the world is not accepted as false. It is accepted as real, but temporary. It is likened under a cloud which moves across the sky, or the coming of the rainy season which nourishes grains. As soon as the rainy season is over, and as soon as the cloud goes away, all the crops which were nourished by the rain dry up. Similarly, this material manifestation takes place at a certain interval, stays for a while, and then disappears. We'll understand it, we'll know it from the pages of the Bhagavad Gita. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. Such are the workings of Prakriti, but this cycle is working eternally. Therefore, Prakriti is eternal. It is not false. The Lord refers to this as my Prakriti. The Lord has accepted my Prakriti. This material nature is the separated energy of the Supreme Lord. And similarly, the living entities are also the energy of the Supreme Lord, although they are not separated but eternally related. So the Lord, the living entity, material nature, and time are all interrelated. Are all eternal. However, the other term, item, karma, is not eternal. The effects of karma may be very old indeed. We are suffering or enjoying the results of our activities from time immemorial. But we can change the results of our karma or our activity. And this change depends upon the perfection of our knowledge. We are engaged in various activities. Undoubtedly, we do not know what sort of activities we should adopt to gain relief from the actions and reactions of all these activities. But this is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. Okay. So this position of the eternality then is important, because if we're going to deal with spiritual is eternal. That's the first thing that they define, is what's eternal. Because in all systems of philosophy, then you're trying to bring yourself to that state of actually dealing with the eternal. But in most philosophies, that when you start dealing with the eternal, then that means you also stop dealing as a person. So needs, desires, interaction, relationships, all the forms, everything in that, then according to these philosophies, then disappear. Right? Because eternal then will mean some basic element that is not interacting with each other. Right? Either just the elements, the elements of the universe in their original state before creation, or the atoms of the universe before creation, like this. Or just the principle of the masculine and feminine principle of the living entities and the material nature. So all these different ones is that in that state, they're manifesting the eternal state, but they're not interactive. They're not interacting with each other. And so in that state, one is not disturbed by the material nature. So that is the difficult. We don't know what sort of activities we should do to gain relief. So the technical, generally what it is we think by not being involved, that's actually how we're going to be relieved. Right? Because that can get you some temporary relief. Right? You know, it's just like, let's say the kids are yelling and screaming and all this. So you can walk out of the room, go into your bedroom, close the door. It will give you some temporary relief. But it actually doesn't solve the problem. The kids are still there. Right? When you walk out of the room, they'll still be there. Right? So that's then, so it doesn't actually, it's temporary relief. So it's giving temporary relief because it's also mundane. The material world is eternal, but its manifestation is temporary. So that would mean giving up the manifestation is also temporary. That's the problem. So you have to be dealing with the eternal that lasts. So then seeing everything as in connection with the Lord, that's what makes everything, gives everything the eternal platform. It's important, these kind of things, because otherwise, that's generally most all philosophies. Then they'll work on this element that being spiritual means you're ending karma, but you're ending everything else also. But if everything's eternal, what's the need of ending? It's a matter of how you're dealing with it, right? You have problems with something by how you deal with it. You deal properly, you get a good result. You deal not properly, you get a bad result. So when we learn how to deal properly, as the Gita is giving, then we know how to get out of this material world. Yes?
Does that include even what materialists who say, oh, you just die and then forever you're dead?
You just die and forever you're dead.
They're looking for that eternity?
Yeah, because the point is eternally they'll look at that. Otherwise, what's the point? It's just, you know, you die and that's it. You know, so, but that stress is there that you don't have to worry about anything. You know, so everything's just in this life. So then, yeah. Basically, materialism will always have these two. It means you're dealing with material energy, you deal nicely, you get results. So even if you're gone, you don't see much. They don't see the soul there. Or if they do, then the soul either will remain, but not in a state of being interacted with the material energy. Or they see that one's own, or just existence disappears, right? The Buddhist existence disappears. The impersonalist, then, existence doesn't disappear. Your individual existence disappears. You know, same thing, same difference, like that. And so that's actual impersonalism. Mayavads, then, they're actually Buddhists. You know, they just practice Buddhism through the Vedic literatures instead of without the Vedic literatures. That's actually their position. The position of Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, is that of supreme consciousness. The jivas, or the living entities, being parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, are also conscious. Both the living entity and material nature are explained as prakriti, the energy of the Supreme Lord. But one of the two, the jiva, is conscious. The other, prakriti, is not conscious. That is the difference. Therefore, the jiva prakriti is called superior because the jiva has consciousness, which is similar to the Lord's. The Lord's is supreme consciousness, however. One should not claim that the jiva, the living entity, is also supremely conscious. The living being cannot be supremely conscious at any stage of his perfection. And the theory that he can be so is a misleading theory. Conscious he may be, but he is not perfectly or supremely conscious. And so you get, the Lord is supremely conscious, right? Dead matter means the material energy, what is he? Thing here. Okay. The material energy is not conscious. The jiva is conscious, but he's still prakriti. Right? So he has both of these elements. So that's the thing, is he going to be conscious, or is he going to be, you know, involved with the material energy? Because if he is, he's conscious, but basically he's only conscious in the state of ignorance. So it's one sense you can say it's not actually conscious. So he has to be functioning in the mode of goodness, at least, that you could say, now this is actually conscious. Right? But still, that's not enough. He has to bring his consciousness in line with the Lord. Right? So this distinction between the jiva and Ishvara will be explained in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The Lord is kshetrajna, conscious, as is the living being. But the living being is conscious of his particular body, whereas the Lord is conscious of all bodies. Ishvara sarvabhutanam rideshe junatishtati. See, kshetrajna, kshetra means place. So if you're going to perform an activity, you can only perform it because you're conscious of the place. Because your activity will happen in a place. No action happens not in a place. Right? You have to have space. So then, you know, nothing can happen unless there's space, and there's something in that space that's interactive. Right? So even there, by that, how would you have a big bang? Because where's the space? Where does it go? Right? So that would mean, in their definition, that that bang would have to produce space, and the space would have to be accelerating at a rate greater than all the rest of whatever just blew up from nothing. Like that. You know, so this is the fun part, is it's so foolish, but your most intelligent brains of the planet are contemplating such things. Like that. That's Maya. Yes. It produced time. Yeah. It's just like every explosion that we know, it produces so many nice things, right? Expands, it goes on, does everything. You know, it's just like they grow things. Like, you know, you explode, you know, Hiroshima, and then, you know, all this new kinds of transformation of species and survival of the fittest starts happening, you know, like that. You know. Isn't it? It's really how they come up with these things. The best part about it is the mundane intelligence somehow it accepts all kinds of foolishness. You know? So not just here, on the emotional platform, sensual platform, intellectual, all the platforms, it accepts this foolishness. Because real intelligence is only in line with when you're in line with Godhead. Then you can actually see things as they are. Even the liberated soul, he won't be blinded by the material in that sense, but it doesn't mean he's actually understanding fully the spiritual. Because to understand spiritual means you have to understand God, because everything's come from him. Right? Does that make sense? So unless you understand God, even your understanding of transcendence isn't complete. Because everything is coming from him, it's working according to his direction. So when you understand him, then you understand everything. So when we discuss philosophy, the first thing to establish actually is God and what is his nature, right? And then how everything is coming from him, all, you know, all his energies. Then you get specific, because it's us, then into the jiva tattva, right? To understand the living entities and their position. And then what's the relationship between the Lord and his energies. Right, when that's understood, then you can actually function. Then the process of elevation can be taken up. What's the goal that can be taken up? But until you've established Godhead and his energies and their relationship, their interaction, then you can't actually do anything. So that kshetra. You establish what is the kshetra. Then knowing the situation or the place, then being conscious of that, how conscious you are is what you can do with it. The less conscious, the less you can do. The more conscious, the more you can do. So that can either be a more general understanding of what's going on, and you're aware of more items in the field, or you're more focused on particular items. Right? Does that make sense? You know, like say, sometimes we find a person so absorbed in one part of the field, he doesn't notice anything else. So he even bumps into people and stuff like that because he's so absorbed. Or they notice everything, but they can't focus, you know. that. So does that make sense? Like that. Yeah. But God, he's aware of all fields. We know our field to some degree. God knows all fields. Right? So that makes him different, because all those fields are him, so he's aware of himself. Right? God is self-realized. Right? He knows himself, but he is everything, so he knows everything. We're a part, right? A separated part. And so, therefore, being conscious, then we'll identify and everything with our little field. But that field is part of God. So if you actually want to deal with the field and get the best results, then you have to be God conscious. You have to be aware of God, because the field is God. Right? So someone who only sees the field, has some, you know, sentimental feelings towards it, probably won't be able to do much with the field. Or if there's no feelings at all, definitely he's not going to interact. There's some emotions to try to interact, but it's not necessarily going to give good result. Right? Then someone who is be able to, with the intelligence, discern the field and tell what are the various objects, what they can do and how they interact, you'll get more from the field. But still, what you see is what you get. You see external, you'll get external. You see the persons and feelings and emotions behind it, you can get that. You see God, you can get God. You understand? So when you look at the field, whatever you see, right, that's what you'll get. Because the mechanics are the same. But depending upon your consciousness, then besides the basic, you can get more. Does that make sense? So if you only see the dead matter, then the result you get will only be dead matter. If you see other people, their feelings, relationships, all those different things are established by Dharma, right? Because the first one will be Kama, Artha. But Dharma, then you will actually get that religious experience, that emotional experience, full, complete. Right? It means whatever is complete and full here, you know, like that. So, does that make sense? You see the energies at work and all that, then you see Brahman. You see the Lord, the controller of all those energies, then you see Paramatma. You see Krishna as that supreme person, then you'll get him. But the action will be the same. The same dead matter will move around in the field of activities. Now it's just a matter of what you want to get from it. You want to get just that external result and that's good enough? Great. Go for that. But don't bother in with any relationships, and don't ever, for a moment, fool yourself that you have any. Like that. Because you don't. You know, not any more than with, you know, dead matter, because that's all you're seeing. Right? Just some of the dead matter sits in one place and some of the dead matter moves around on its own. And so you spend your time using your intelligence how to control the moving and non-moving dead matter to create the situations that you want, that you call, that will make one happy. Does that make sense? That's what most people are doing. Right? And all the emotions and that they feel are their own. They're not actually worried about someone else's, other than bringing them in line with theirs. I've done something wrong. Okay, let us say I do something. I react out of my own feelings, right? And so I have my attachments, and because of these attachments, I do something. Now, what I do doesn't please other people, right? Now, as long as I have to do that, I have that drive to do that, then that's my goal. So I'm dealing with the field. And the field, I will adjust to get that result. Right? So that means I just do what I want. Now, after having done what I want, and now it's coming to, you know, more of a balance like that. Now I can start to, I will look at other aspects of the field. Because you've already dealt with one part of the field. Now you have to deal with other parts of the field. Now, Unfortunately, we may find that other parts of the field, you know, those moving dead matter, then maybe didn't appreciate how you dealt with the field and completely left them out of the equation. Right? Now, then you will feel bad about that. Okay, you should have considered it. Just like, you know, I should have considered that, you know, I had, you know, the washing machine running and I had, you know, something in the oven and, you know, I was supposed to make a phone call, but I forgot about what's in the oven, so it burnt. I feel bad, right? Because now when I want to, you know, eat, then, you know, it's not exactly what you call edible, right? You know, it means you could take it out in your backyard, put it in your barbecue, and cook something else, yes, but you wouldn't be able to eat that. Does that make sense? So you feel bad about the condition of your field of activities, right? But you don't actually care about the other person's feelings, because they're just moving dead matter, right? You understand? You have to look at this intellectually. Don't think, no, I never think like that, because It, just to say that, there's a good chance you're doing that. So now, having done that, then you understand that this other moving dead matter, you know, their feelings were hurt. You know, and so now you explain why your attachments were so important that you had to do that. Right? And now, what do we call this these days? I'm being truthful. I'm being honest. I'm actually opening up. I'm revealing my mind. These are all the nice, you know, politically correct terms that they use. And now, what do you expect from this? This other moving dead matter should understand. If they're real friends, if they're real, you know, people of quality, they'll understand. Right? Which is fair enough, if they're thinking that, not you. And then, if they adjust with it, then you're happy because you're able to control the moving and non-moving dead matter in your field of activities and get what you want. But if you can't control them, they don't respond, they still feel bad that you didn't consider them. You know, you claim to be a friend or claim to be this or that, and you were left out, and they simply give their needs rather than understanding the needs of the relationship, the needs of the other person. Right? Then that, you know, the first person, you know, that we're talking about in this, then he'll consider that they're not actually very good friends. They don't understand. They're not very, you know, broad-minded and liberal and not very, you know, developed. What can you say? Yeah, consider it. They're not developed as a human being. Does this process sound familiar? Right? So now, what has happened here? We will say, no, I very care about people, I care. And then, that's the other nice reaction that comes, is now you'll feel yourself the victim. Because they didn't understand you. You opened up. You revealed. You were being truthful and honest. Which is supposed to be a good thing, they said. You know, so, and they didn't understand. So these narrow-minded, closed-minded, you know, not very sensitive, not very considerate people, then, you know, I feel let down, I feel hurt. And that's why I'm insecure and I don't actually respect authority and can't let other people in my life because they don't do exactly what I want, when I want, how I want. Right? Because the bottom line is, I'm not changing. Everybody else in the universe has to change. Because it's a field of activities, right? It's a field, and what I do is I adjust the field to make it work the way I want. So does this sound like the modern New Age culture, or does it sound like, you know, the culture that's going on nowadays that they call New Age? You understand? This is what's going on. And people sincerely think they have relationships when their relationship does not go beyond dead matter. So this is what we're talking about. And so their results are dead matter.
And they go from relationship
to... Yeah, they go from so-called relationship to another relationship. But they never have relationships because they don't know. Because the relationship doesn't start until you accept the other person and their need, and you're working for their needs, right? And in the relationship, they'll work for yours. But if you work for yours, don't work for theirs, where's the relationship? Where's the overlap? Then they're just something that was part of your field of activities. Rather than you have a relationship, and that relationship is in the field of activities. You understand? This is the science of relationship. So that's why this modern stuff that they say, and they're so confident that they have a relationship. They're so proud. And they're so offended if you bring up, you know, otherwise. Because they're only dealing with dead matter. That's all. Because we have to remember, in one sense, the body, the mind, the intelligence, this is all dead matter. It's only by the presence of the soul that they take on an animated quality. Right? So you can deal with all these things and be dealing with them as dead matter, because unless the soul, who actually is the one who is manifesting all these needs and all that, unless they're considered, you're not actually dealing with people. You're dealing with things. Just they happen to move around. You know, kind of like your keys, right? You know, they're never where you left them. Keys, glasses, purse, you know, all these things that seem to have the life of their own, right? Does that make sense? You know, the neighbor's kids, you know. Does this make some sense? So this is where this technical philosophy comes into play. We may say, oh, that's all philosophy. We're interested more in, you know, the personal, the real, and all. No, unless you know this, there's a good chance you don't have personal. You don't have real. That's why it said it's temporary. Because all these things are temporary. But eternal relationships, those last forever because you're actually dealing with the living entity. Right? Because it's the living entity who thinks they are someone. Prabhupada said, so generally we think, okay, you have the doctor, okay? Who's the doctor? We'll generally say it's the body, you know, or it's the subtle body, you know, like that. The subtle body, you know, the intelligence, the ego and all that. Prabhupada says, no, it's the soul. The soul thinks he's the doctor. So the doctor is actually the soul. Because the soul thinks I'm a doctor, therefore you have that manifestation. Right? If the soul didn't think I'm a doctor, why would he go to medical school and practice and do all these things? Right? The mind's going to do that. Intelligence's going to do that. It's dead matter. It's not going to do anything. So the soul thinks I'm the doctor. So unless you deal with the soul, you're not actually dealing with people. Because the soul identifies with the ego, the mind, intelligence, and body. Therefore, your medium of interaction with that soul is through these things. But just because you interact with these things doesn't mean you got to the point of the soul. Because that's the person who has their needs, their feelings, their interests. So unless that's considered, you're not actually dealing on the platform of relationship. That's the reality. Right? So they're all your, you know, how you say, second canto, 11th canto, you know, all these later chapters in Gita, all these technical little things, you know, that we say is all, you know, theoretical, very dry stuff. No, that's the heart of relationships. But it's just the mechanics of it. You know, we want to taste it. If you can taste it, great. If you're able to do that, fine. But how do you know you're doing it? Right? Are you coming from a tradition that knows, so therefore you picked it up? And if not, how do you know you actually are? Understand? So, and in that is, if you're going to go to all that trouble, why would you stop at just the soul? Because the soul is in connection with the Supreme. So in that same endeavor, you could become, besides self-realized, become God-conscious. right? Because you can't actually be self-realized if you don't know God, because we're part and parcel of God, right? There's a form, you know, that we call liberation, that you can be self-realized and not be God-conscious. But technically, we refer to it as liberation because that's what everybody calls it, right? You know, people call it, you know, a fancy, elegant car, you know, like that. But technically, it's just another tin can. It just costs more than the other tin cans. That's all. It's got four wheels also. Four rubber wheels and a tin can, right? So it's a nicer tin can. That's all. Does that make sense? So the point is we have to be able to see that God is everything. All living entities and all situations that the living entities are in are situated in the Lord. So it's not that, well, that's one way of looking at it. It's actually the only way of looking at it. Anything less than that is actually illusion. You know what I'm saying? The kid's running around the house, and if he forgets that the house belongs to his parents, and that house works by the parents' rules, then is he going to be in a good position at the end of the day when his parents get home? No. Why? Because of illusion. But if he remembers this is the parents' house, these are the rules, then he can move through the house and do whatever he wants. At the end of the day, the parents are happy to see him. Right? But if he moves to the house how he likes, not considering the parents, there's going to be a problem. Because it is the parents' house. It's that simple. Right? So that's what God consciousness is. Being aware of whose place this is. What does all this belong to? Who does it belong to? That's what we're being asked to do. Just be conscious of that. You know, but we're thinking that's so difficult. Oh, I'm so restricted. I have to go by all these things. I don't, you know, that's fanatic. No, we can just do whatever we want. Oh, I feel like doing this. You know, is that going to work? No. At the end of the day, mommy comes home, finds out the cookie jar is empty. You know, her vase is, you know, in pieces on the floor, you know, and half the house is turned around into something else because he made forts and everything else like that. Climbed the curtains, kicked over the garbage can, and, you know, let the cat out. So you're in trouble. Right? Right? You understand? So we may say whatever we want, but as Prabhupada pointed out in previous pages, that's childish. Because an adult means you're mature. You can see the broader situation. Right? So, compared to a living entity that their body is childish, the more so-called more mature adult may be less childish than them, but if you still don't see it as God's creation and it's God's rules, then it is still childish, just on a bigger scale. So we may think that we're actually better off, but at least a child's a child. You know what I'm saying? If a dog acts like a dog, you can understand. But if a human acts like a dog, that's worse. Right? Narottam Das Thakur says, the two-legged animals are worse than the four-legged animals. Because the four-legged animals, at least you know basically what they're going to do. Right? They're going to bark, they're going to slobber, they're going to have fleas. But you don't know what the two-legged animal is going to do. Right? So this is the position, is to be able to understand the difference and actually what's going on, actually what's relationship. That's what the science is teaching. You know, so we're, you know, we may think, oh, things are, you know, so impersonal or no consideration. Whose fault is that? It's not the fault of the Vedas. It's not the fault of the Acharyas. It's not the fault of the scriptures. You know? Because they're explaining that. That's what they're trying to wake us up to. Hey, wake up. There's real relationships going on here. All these souls are eternal. Like that. They have feelings. They're conscious. Dead matter doesn't. You have to have, you have to interact with them. Right? Does that make sense? That's what the Vedas are telling us. But we, as according to Gita, will take religion to be irreligion and irreligion to be religion. Right? That's just the mode of ignorance. So if someone is not able to appreciate, maybe someone doesn't understand, they need to be, that's fine, just means we need more education. But if someone sincerely thinks that the Vedic culture, this and that, doesn't work, these teachings don't have a place, they don't actually apply in my life in the broadest sense, right? Then that's illusion. That's all. It's nothing else other than illusion. Trying to get. Oh, see, they already started. Like that. I wonder how they pick which one is the one they'll live on and which one's the veranda. You know, maybe we can't appreciate because we're on the other side. So if you're on the top, then you can appreciate, you know, the nuances of the blade or something. You know. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Okay, see? Very, very Vedic. The birds of the Dham, so the house facing east, you know, it's according to Vastu. Cool. Never thought of that. So. That's another thing. Well, I'm going to take it down like that. We do the yajna there, and it seems to be good. Yes.
You were saying that relationship starts when we work on others' fields, and I was saying the soul is conscious. Does that mean that when you deal with the other soul, then you have to get out of your field into their field? Is that possible?
Out of your field into their field. It's not a matter of getting out of your field into their field, because you have your field, you have to work in your field. And they're working in their field. So the point is where those two fields meet, you have to be able to consider both fields. Because it changes. In other words, when your field meets someone else's field, it changes. Right? So you have to consider both fields. Otherwise, you know, there won't be proper interaction. That's what Varnashram teaches. It teaches exactly who you are. Right? So what is your field? Because otherwise everybody always, you know, thinks the field on the other side is better. Right? You know, that's what we did. We're sitting on this side of the viraj, and we're looking at that side and thinks it looks better. Right? You know, so that's the whole point, is that it's always, you know, better on the other side. For years I thought about that. Why does the grass look greener? Because if you look, it does look greener. You know, then I figure, like, you look at that field there, it looks very full of grass, because we're looking at it from the side. If you go and stand on top of it, look straight down, that's what the cow is doing when it's going to eat it. Then you'll see there's not a whole lot of grass, there's a lot more dirt. So then when you look farther that way, then you're looking at it sideways, again it looks green, so then you move over there. So that's the problem, because wherever you go, you'll be disappointed, because it's just as less green as the place you were just in. Like that. That was many years of contemplation. So I was wondering, why does it always look greener? Does that make sense? Okay, we're saying, so in Varnashram, it explains exactly who you are. You know, your conditioned nature. Because the soul, we know who he is, what he's supposed to do. But what you're going to express yourself through is your conditioned nature. Right? At least the form of it. So what body is there? Senses, mind, intelligence. You know? So that is explained. Then when you can clearly understand that, so what is your work, what's not your work? You know, what? In other words, what work matches your nature? That's what you're supposed to do. You'll be happiest doing that. Right? You know, you like strawberries, so therefore, the rule is made, you get the strawberries, right? But now if you start saying, well, why do I have to only have strawberries? Why couldn't I have, you know, kumquats if I wanted? And it's like, fine, you can have kumquats, but you don't like them anyway. You know, so it's just, you know, that thing, so I don't want to be restricted. It's not a matter. It's not you're being restricted, it's just what you like is what's actually given. Right? Then you have to know what someone else's nature is, what they are, and what they like to do. their needs, their desires, aspirations, their methods. Then, having understood that, then the third level is how they interact. Right? And then the fourth level is how to see, control that, or lead that so that others are able to, everybody's able to function according to, like that. You understand that? Because if you don't know who you are, you can't understand who others are. If you can't understand who others are, then the third thing, you can't understand relationships, how it'll work. If you can't understand that, how would you control it? You understand?
You mean like a king or a Brahmin?
King, Brahmin, whatever it is. But now, if we want to have a discussion on Varnashram, which stage do we start at?
Ourselves.
We're supposed to, but where do we actually?
Number four.
How to control the situation. So that's why not one conference on Varnashram has ever become successful. Because they're starting at the wrong end. Right? It would be like you want to drive, so you start by getting out of the car. No, once you're already there, you've driven, you've got there, then you can step out of the car. You know what I'm saying? So, that's why it can't work. So that's understanding. This is the science that's explained. So until you know the Kshetra Kshetra Gya, and then the Supreme Lord, who is the ultimate Kshetra Gya, then you can't actually understand anything. You will be an illusion. Like that. That's why the culture is there, so even if you're in ignorance, you'll follow the etiquettes and do it. You won't bother the other person emotionally. Right? But if we don't accept that, then that's, you know, basically our middle name is Bother. You know, if you're from England, then I guess it's Bobber, right? You know, it's like that. And yes? Okay. The living being is conscious of his particular body, whereas the Lord is conscious of all bodies, because he lives within the core of the heart of every living being. He is conscious of the psychic movements of the particular jivas. We should not forget this. Right? Yeah, so his point is, he understands everything. It means whatever you're feeling, even you don't know what you're feeling, he does. We should not forget it. It is also explained that the Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is living in everyone's heart as Ishwara, as the controller, and that he is giving directions for the living entity to act as he desires. Sarvasyachaham haririsani vishto. The living entity forgets what to do. First of all, he makes a determination to act in a certain way, and then he is entangled in the actions or reactions of his own karma. After giving up one type of body, he enters another type of body, as we take off and put on clothes. Vasamshi jirnani yatavihaya. As the soul thus migrates, he suffers the actions and reactions of his past activities. These activities can be changed when the living being is in the mode of goodness, in sanity, and understands what sort of activities he should accept, should adopt. He does so, then all the actions and reactions of his past activities can be changed. Consequently, karma is not eternal. Therefore, we stated that of the five items, Ishwara, Jiva, Prakriti, Time, and Karma, four eternal, whereas karma is not eternal. Right, so now we've established these five, but in the process, we have also established, you know, through that definition, to establish that, then we've established the nature of this, the difference between the Supreme Lord, the living entities, and material nature. Right? So in here, as you'll see, is this point is because going back to Godhead means getting out of the material world by situation. So the process of liberation then is part of the devotional process, but not as a primary aspect, but as a side benefit. Right? So the process is exactly the same. The process will follow. The process the bona fide impersonalist follows is the same. Because they're trying to get out of the material world, so we are we. Once they get out, they stop acting. Right? Well, when we get out, we keep going. Therefore, there's activities that we do that they don't do. But everything what they do, we do. Does that make sense? The Vaishnav is broader than what everybody else does, but everything has its place. So because all they're interested in liberation, that's everything they talk about and deal with and everything. While us, it's just one of the things that's done. You understand? So we talk about other things. Our culture, you know, includes more. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. The Supreme Conscious Ishwar is different to the living entity in this way. Both the consciousness of the Lord and that of the living entity are transcendental. It is not the consciousness is generated by the association of matter. That is a mistaken idea. That is a mistaken idea, because that's the materialism. So if you ask anyone, where is the consciousness come from? And they'll say, from matter. Right? So even your modern religionists will say it comes from matter. Because everything they do is dealing with matter. You come from matter. What is it? Dust thou art, dust thou shall be, all this, that, you know, blah. And so, so if it's just dust, why are they so worried about keeping it? And you're going to take that dust with you, you know? You know, that dust is what you have to take when you go to heaven or something. You know, so the thing is it's coming from there, and when you die, then the consciousness is gone. So consciousness is generated by dead matter. Dead matter that's unconscious generates consciousness. Right? So it doesn't make sense. But that's the problem with, you know, all these philosophies and religions. It doesn't make sense on this platform. So that is a mistaken idea. The soul is conscious. Consciousness comes from God. God's conscious, therefore the living entities are conscious. The theory that consciousness develops under certain circumstances, a material combination, is not accepted in the Bhagavad Gita. Consciousness may be pervertedly reflected by the covering of material circumstances, just as light reflected through colored glass may appear to be a certain color. But the consciousness of the Lord is not materially affected. Right? So now we're bringing out this point of the difference of the Supreme Lord with the living entity. Right? That's actually the point here. So, because the living entity, in touch with the material energy, his consciousness actually becomes affected by the material. Right? Therefore, that's what makes him different. The Lord doesn't become affected. Right? The Lord doesn't. The jiva is very small. Material energy is big. It's 1/4 of the cosmic creation. The jiva is 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. Right? 1/10,000th the tip of the hair is pretty much defined. Right? And 1/4 of the cosmic creation. The cosmic creation is unlimited. So how big is 1/4 of unlimited? Right? So, it's a lot bigger than us. So we become affected. God is, he is beyond. This sometimes we get bewildered with. When we say spiritual, that's the platform on which we act in relationship with Godhead. Right? That's spiritual. So therefore, when we're on that, in that consciousness, we're spiritual. That realm that is always conscious of God is spiritual. Right? So beyond the material is the spiritual. But we have to remember, beyond spiritual and material is Krishna. Right? Because he's not energy. Spiritual means energy. He's not energy. He's beyond that. He's something else. That's why we can't understand him. But coming from him, then those common qualities, those common elements, that's where the relationship is. But actually, as far as beyond, we can't understand. So that's right, Baba says, man will never understand woman, woman will never understand man. You can understand enough to work, but you'll never actually understand. Because Krishna is beyond. So, therefore, it's all part, but, you know, it won't be understood. What is the experience of that which is only part of him? Because he understands the whole thing. And something that's part, how can they understand the whole? That makes the unlimited variety and taste and relationship between the Lord and His creation. Because neither can fully understand. It's always a mystery, right? Because as long as there's mystery, then the relationship is, you know, there's something unique there. You know, which is the interesting thing, is that in relationships, the men are always trying to break down the mystery while the women are trying to keep it. And the men don't understand is when they break it down, then there's no variety. It's finished. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense. Because there's the sense if you break down, you're in control. But then they forget you may be in control, but then you don't enjoy. So if you want to be happy and enjoy, then you don't control in this way. Understand? That's why Krishna, the lower down is the relationship, the more he controls. The higher the relationship, the less he controls. He's controlled by his mother and father and friends. Therefore, the taste is greater. And where he's sitting in Vaikuntha and he's master of all he surveys, and when he says jump, then they say how high, all that stuff, then the taste is less. Right? And when it's, you know, control here, where you know, people don't even understand his position and all that, he's so far beyond, he has no taste here. So that's the position. So this is one of the differences. He does not become affected by everything. Okay? Okay, so we'll continue with this Thursday.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.